KCBE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A federal judge will allow part of Special Counsel Jack Smith's final report on election interference to be made public.
This ruling clears the way for the release of the first volume of Jack Smith's report, dealing with the January 6th case, as soon as tomorrow. But Judge Eileen Cannon is continuing to put a block on the second volume, having to do with the handling of classified documents. Cannon is scheduling a Friday hearing on that volume, and whether sharing it with senior members of the House and Senate Judiciary Committees might violate the rights of Donald Trump's two former co-defendants in a case who still face charges.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. He didn't specify what they should be, but House Speaker Mike Johnson said any federal aid, as Los Angeles recovers from the ongoing wildfires, should be conditional. South Korea says North Korea on Tuesday test-fired at least one unidentified projectile toward the Sea of Japan. Unclear how far it flew or exactly what type of projectile it was. This is ABC News. Time Magazine's Athlete of the Year had to deal with a stalker.
The Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark.
Indiana police say the number one pick in the WNBA draft was forced to alter her public appearances and the places she went for fear that 55-year-old Michael Lewis would be there. Lewis has been charged with felony stalking, sending numerous texts and explicit DMs to Caitlin Clark from his social media accounts. Lewis is from Texas but was arrested in Indianapolis and acknowledged to officers who detained him any relationship he had with Clark was purely imaginary. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
His family announced the death of Oliviero Toscani, photographer of those provocative ad campaigns for Benetton in the 80s and 90s before breaking with the knitwear brand. Some of his images depicted a black woman breastfeeding a white baby, part of Benetton's advocacy for diversity and religious tolerance. Oliviero Toscani was 82. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Kelvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Kelvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Kelvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Packers surrender to the Eagles. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers losing to the Eagles in Philadelphia 22-10. Keyshawn Nixon fumbling the opening kickoff. Jordan Love threw three interceptions. I asked Packers safety Xavier McKinney how he thought the defense played.
I thought we played well defensively. We just didn't get turnovers. So they had, four? Four. So, I mean, it's going to be tough when it's like that, the ratio is like that. So, yeah.
The Eagles star receiver, A.J. Brown, caught on camera reading a book on the sidelines during the game.
That's a book that I bring every single game. And, you know, my teammates call it a recipe. You know, that's the first time I heard that y'all got me on camera. It got a lot of points in there, a lot of mental parts about it. But for me, you know, this game is mental.
NBA, the Bucks losing to the Knicks in New York, 140-106. The team returns home. Tomorrow night, they'll host the Kings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. After meeting on the set of School of Rock over two decades ago, two students are tying the knot. When they were just 10 years old, Angelo Massagli, also referred to as Tough Guy in the film, and Caitlin Hale, a.k.a. Blondie, met while auditioning for the Jack Black film. The child actors connected again in 2018. By then, they had both left acting behind. Massagli is a lawyer, and Hale is now an OBGYN sonographer. The paths we take. Zombie and or Cillian Murphy fans might be upset to know that the actor will not appear in the film 28 years later. There was speculation Cillian's character Jim might be in the new installment when a preview dropped with a zombie that had striking similarities to Murphy. The Oscar-winning Oppenheimer star confirmed he is not in the new film, but is open to appearing in future 28-day films. This third installment is actually the first film in a new trilogy. 28 years later opens in June of this year. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and cold tonight, lows 0 to 5 below, wind chills to 20 below. Sunny and highs in the mid-teens for tomorrow. Warmer for the rest of the week, mostly sunny and a high in the mid-20s Wednesday, near 40 Thursday and Friday. It's 14 degrees right now.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, I address whether the January 6th committee destroyed evidence. You know, that little tidbit that's been flying around the MAGAverse. It ain't true. We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, we're in New York at our secret lair. In Long Beach, and Wendy and I have been here for a while, and we're doing the show here, and I know you had gone up north, Haley, for this weekend, and it's going to be cold here soon, and but Wendy, we got in the city, and we got to go see a one-person kind of play.
Yeah, we did. We went to the PAC Theater. The PAC Theater is the Perlman Performing Arts Center. It's in Manhattan, all the way down by the 9/11 Memorial. And we went to see a one-woman play called Teepee Tales from the Stoop. And her name is Muriel Borst Tarrant. And she was really, really funny. So she was a Native American woman and her family. And as a child, she grew up in Brooklyn in a really Italian neighborhood. And she talked about how it was, you know, how it was growing up as the only Native American woman child growing up amongst all these other people, Italian people, Spanish people, you know, Mexicans, all different types of people. She was really very funny, and we were really lucky to see it. You know, we were happy to see that. It's going through, I think, till January 18th.
Yeah, next weekend. And what was fun is that the performance was sold out, which was really cool.
Wow.
And we got to see her daughter introduced her mother, and she threw in there that she's part Ho-Chunk, too. So it was like, cool. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, small world.
It was really fun.
Related to the fun makers.
Oh, wow. That's funny. So, funny. Literally, get it?
So we couldn't find any tickets online. So I said, Robert, call the theater and see. Sometimes, you know, they have something available. So he did. And they had two seats in the front row that were reserved for handicap. But since no one, you know, claimed them, they gave us those seats. So we were really lucky. So we had front row seats. The theater's a nice theater. It's a small theater. Would you say, Robert, it holds like 150, 160 people?
So yeah.
That has like stadium seating. And so any seat in that, in the house, no matter where you're sitting, is really good. But really, she was really very funny. And I don't want to give away. You could look it up. TP Tales from the Stoop by Muriel Borst Tarrant.
And then after that, Wendy, we went and did our reconnaissance mission to the Vikings bar in Manhattan that we're going to go to tonight, Skull Vikings. And we've been there a couple times where it's transplants from Minnesota take over this one bar right next to Penn Station.
Yeah, it's right around. It's on 35th and 8th or something like that. It's an Irish bar, and it's a Vikings bar. So 2 years ago, Robert and I were here for the Vikings playoff. They were playing the Giants, and we headed around to the Vikings bar. We walked in. The place was packed. There wasn't one seat. I mean, it was like standing room only. We happened to get a little spot like in front of the TV, in front of the bar. And we didn't even have a stool. We had to stand the whole time. I hope that doesn't happen tonight. We're going to try to get there a little bit earlier. But yeah, we're excited to watch the Vikings game, and hopefully they'll win tonight and they'll move on. So we're excited to do that. We'll take the train in.
Our condolences to the Packer fans too, that they had lost, and we feel really bad here about that.
Yeah, I was rooting for this. Like, the only time I would root for the Packers is when they're playing the Eagles, I think. I had a couple other family members say the same thing. Yeah, so what do you guys think? As Minnesota fans, would you pull for a Midwest team versus, you know? Well, you guys are kind of home-based in the eastern part of the states, too.
Well. I don't know about it.
That's a good point, that if whoever is in the Super Bowl, so if the Vikings are in the Super Bowl, you said you wanted to see them possibly play Buffalo.
Yeah.
They both lost 4 Super Bowls.
Right.
So they would probably maybe be an even match. So that might be, you know, 2 teams to watch. Yeah.
That'd be
fun. That would be great. One of them will end up being 0-5 in Super Bowls, and the other one will be 1-4 or breaking the record. So, yeah, that would be an amazing thing if they get past the next couple teams to get into the Super Bowl. I don't want to jinx it and count my chickens before they're hatched, but let's see how it goes tonight and go from there. But, Haley, I'm not going to answer your question, but I will ask you a question. Okay. What did you do this weekend?
What did I do this weekend? Well, we watched the Wild game. Well, I got to shout out the Wild. I love my hockey, and we're the state of hockey, and they won. Wild are doing really well. But this weekend I was up near the Brainerd Lakes area, which I had been a couple few times, but we stayed kind of at a resort area this time, and where our family was renting a house, and there was this book, which was just kind of there for decoration, or I don't know, maybe people pick up and read books if it's like a rainy day or something on vacation. But Robert, I sent you this book, and I wanted to talk about it a little bit because it had mentioned the Winnebago people. So this book was called Gull Lake. That was the lake I was staying at in Nisswa. And it was Gull Lake Yesterday and Today by Duane R. Lund, who has a PhD. I'm not really sure. It didn't seem like he was native or had any affiliation, but I wanted to share a little bit of information on this page that I took a picture of. He talked about, let's see here. So he talked about there were mounds and stuff in this area of Brainerd Lakes, of course, with our Ojibwe relatives. But when the second lane was added to Highway 371 near between Gull and Round Lakes in northern Minnesota, there were like human bones of indigenous ancestors on the land. The Black Duck culture is something they mentioned in the book and included several tribes, talked about some of which is known today that live in Manitoba or Ontario. But they talked about the Anishinaabe and the Sioux, the Anishinaabe being chased out of the land by the Sioux cousins and the Winnebagoes out of southern Wisconsin, which it just kind of was interesting to me because
When we talk about like history of Minnesota, we hear about the Ojibwe and the Dakota tribes. But it's like not more until recent where we've been hearing of Ho-Chunk people being in Minnesota and always being here, even before the U.S. Dakota Wars were going on. We were kind of in the Albert Lea area. There was like push towards the Blue Earth reservation at a time. And yeah, I thought that was really interesting that they were mentioned.
Yeah, well, the government also put us right in the middle between the Anishinaabe and the Dakotas. And that didn't work out for Ho-Chunk or the Winnebago, Wisconsin at the time. And because they were fighting up there and we were right in the middle of that. So that's how we got taken down to the Mankato area.
Yeah, that makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. But yeah, well, it was fun. Got snow finally here.
Yeah. Borrow the book from the resort?
I didn't. I did take a picture of it, though. And it was Gull Lake today or yesterday and today by Dwayne Lund, if you want to look that up.
Cool.
Hey, it's Native Roots Radio, and we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back with one of the founders of Native Roots Radio in the beginning of our ninth season, Wendy, with our sacred animal portion, and we're going to be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Thanks to everyone who's continued to support AM950. Good news, the AM950 2025 calendar is ready to go, featuring photos I took around Minnesota and important progressive dates. Members who sign up for a recurring monthly $10 membership will receive a 2025 AM950 calendar as a thank you. Make a recurring monthly $25 donation, you'll get the AM950 calendar and a signed copy of Tom Hartman's latest book as a thank you. Go to am950radio.com for the details on the membership. That's am950radio.com. Thank you so much for supporting AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Chad, owner of AM950 for Snap Construction again. Does your home feel colder than it should with the furnace constantly running? Or do certain rooms always feel colder than the rest of the house? Those are signs the attic in your home may need an insulation upgrade. Snap Construction can help by providing a free energy audit for your home's insulation. The average cost of getting new insulation can cost much less than a new furnace. Plus, Snap Construction is a BPI certified installer. That means if you use Snap for your next insulation project, you qualify for up to $650 in total rebates from your energy provider. After my free inspection, my insulation upgrade was completed within a few weeks and the rebate check was in the mail. Snap to it and reduce your heating bill this winter with Snap Construction. Call 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP for your free energy audit when you mention AM950. Snap Construction, arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor and insulation company in the metro.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Hey, we're going to shake it up here a little bit. This is, all right, we're going to have our sacred animal portion here. And I also mentioned a couple times last week, and I know Wendy was on last week, and I just want to say this too, that how important our sacred animal portion of the show has been these past 8 years and going into season 9, and Wendy being a founder of Native Roots Radio. I just want to hand her over the show here and take it away, Wendy. I remember at one time you had 3 minutes for this segment.
I know. Now I have a lot more minutes, so that I appreciate that. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And it is always my pleasure to do that. So on January 9th, we got an update from Howling for Wolves. And this is from Dr. Maureen, who is the founder of Howling for Wolves. And she wants to thank Secretary Holland and Director Williams because they are protecting wolves. Here, I'm just going to read this right here. This week, while it was last week, January 9th, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the FWS, upheld vital Endangered Species Act protections for wolves, rejecting petitions by hunting organizations. I'm not going to go through all the organizations here, to delist wolves in the Western Great Lakes and West Coast regions. We are heartened by this decision, which ensures continued federal safeguards for Great Lake wolves and wolves across the country. By denying the petition, FWS strongly signals that more work is needed to protect wolves before states can take over their recovery. This vital choice reflects leadership grounded in science, ethics, and a commitment to safeguarding wildlife amid mounting environmental threats. We at Howling for Wolves thank Secretary Deb Holland, Director Martha Williams, and the Fish and Wildlife Service for standing firm in defense of sound science and ethical wildlife management. So thank you, Howling for Wolves, for updating. And thank you, Dr. Maureen Hackett, the founder of Howling for Wolves, for all the work that you do. We're going to have to work hard here in Minnesota to continue to protect our wolves here. So we will do that. Yeah. So I figured today we could do some question and answer. I have like five questions that I want to ask you, Robert and Haley, and see if you guys can give me the answers. I was surprised going through this list. I've learned a lot. So let's see. So here's number one. Which animal has the thickest fur of any mammal? So there's three choices. A sea otter, a polar bear, or an Arctic fox? Otter, polar bear,
sea otter,
Arctic fox. Who has the thickest fur of any mammal?
I'd say sea otter.
Okay. I'm going to say the polar bear then.
Yeah, Robert, you are right. Sea otter.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because they're always wet and cold. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. Haley, I thought it was the polar bear as well. So.
Well, the more you know.
Exactly. I think I've talked about this on the show, so we'll see if anyone was paying attention. What is the bird that can fly backwards? A sparrow, a parrot, or a hummingbird?
Hummingbird.
Oh, hummingbird.
Yep, that's right.
Ooh.
We listen, right, Haley?
Oh, yeah, I recognize that one.
You do, right? Okay. This one surprised me as well. Which animal has the strongest sense of smell? Is it a grizzly bear, a great white shark, or an African elephant?
Shark. I would say shark, even though they're breathing or smelling underwater.
Okay, sense of smell. What do you think?
I'll say shark, too.
Shark, okay. No, it's the African elephant.
Oh, that was my last choice, probably.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Which animal is known for having 32 brains? Is it a jellyfish, a leech, or an octopus?
Octopus.
Yeah, they have a lot of arms. They might have a lot of brains.
It's a leech.
Really?
A leech has 32 brains.
Ew.
I know. Isn't that crazy? What is the term for a group of pandas? Are they called a parliament, an embarrassment, or a congregation?
Parliament.
A parliament. Both of you go for parliament.
Yes.
Yes. A group of pandas is called an embarrassment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Funny. So
I just did pee with the pandas, pee in parliament.
Oh, I see. That was good. Yeah, a lot of those I got the wrong answer as well. So I'm just going to go through a couple of these things. We just talked about the octopus. Octopus anatomy. And an octopus has three hearts and its blood is blue due to high copper levels. They also have no bones and can squeeze through tiny spaces. If anybody has a chance, take a look, and if you could watch the My Octopus Tour. It was on Netflix. It might be on other. Did you watch that with me, Robert? My
Octopus. I sure did.
Yeah, it was. I
got sad at the end.
Yeah, I watched it twice. If you get a chance, check it out. It really shows how smart these animals are. Oh, here's.
I believe it won Academy Award too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. My Octopus Teacher. Polar bear skin. Despite their white fur, polar bears actually have black skin, which helps them absorb heat from the sun in cold climates.
Wow.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, that is true. It's not. So these are just facts now, but yes, these are all going to be true. Robert, I know, right? Isn't it owls aren't a good animal for some tribes, or they have certain beliefs about owls?
Yeah, you see an owl, that means death is coming.
Oh, okay. Well, owls don't have any eyeballs. They have tube-like eyes that can't move in their sockets.
Really?
Okay, that's freaky.
I didn't know that.
I never knew that. Wow.
That's why they got to turn their heads all the way around.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? And you know how, this is, I'm not reading this, but I remember learning about this when we went to the animal sanctuary and they had goats. You know goats, how they have their pupil is like a horizontal line?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the animals that have horizontal lines in their eyes as their pupil are animals of prey. So they're the ones who get eaten. And like a lion and a tiger and a cougar, or like animals that are the hunters, a wolf has the eyes with the pupil that are vertical.
What? Oh. I never heard that. Was that in? Wow. Say that again.
So like a goat or an animal that's a prey animal that gets eaten by other animals, their eyes, like if you look at a goat, their pupils are horizontal.
I'm like suddenly forgetting what a goat's eyes look like.
Yeah. Goat eyes. Cool. Yeah. Like a tiger or a lion, their pupil vertical.
So okay.
They're the ones who,
does
know.
It say why?
I'm not reading it. It's just something that I remembered from something I learned a while ago.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kangaroo babies. A newborn kangaroo is incredibly small, about the size of a jelly bean. And it's called.
True.
Yes, it is true. Do you remember what the baby kangaroo is called?
Joey.
That's right.
What is he called?
Joey.
Joey.
Like Joey?
Yeah.
J-O-E.
Like short for Joseph or something.
Yeah.
It's cute.
So sloths, a lot of people, I love sloths. I like, they're just so slow. And
you married one, didn't you?
It can take a sloth up to 1 month to fully digest a single leaf.
Wow. So every part of them is slow, including their digestive tract.
It seems that way. I can't hear anything, so you guys will have to let me know. A bat flight. Bats are the only mammals that can truly fly. Bats. Like you could see like
squirrel.
Yeah, but they don't really fly. They jump and they glide, but they don't truly fly. And did you know? Only female mosquitoes bite.
That makes sense.
Starfish brains don't have a brain. And really? Just get starfish on the beach and just throw it back in. Don't let it dry out.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A federal judge will allow part of Special Counsel Jack Smith's final report on election interference to be made public.
This ruling clears the way for the release of the first volume of Jack Smith's report, dealing with the January 6th case, as soon as tomorrow. But Judge Eileen Cannon is continuing to put a block on the second volume, having to do with the handling of classified documents. Cannon is scheduling a Friday hearing on that volume, and whether sharing it with senior members of the House and Senate Judiciary Committees might violate the rights of Donald Trump's two former co-defendants in the case, who still face charges.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. He didn't specify what they should be, but House Speaker Mike Johnson said any federal aid, as Los Angeles recovers from the ongoing wildfires, should be conditional. South Korea says North Korea on Tuesday test-fired at least one unidentified projectile toward the Sea of Japan. Unclear how far it flew or exactly what type of projectile it was. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Packers surrender to the Eagles. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers losing to the Eagles in Philadelphia 22-10. Keyshawn Nixon fumbling the opening kickoff. Jordan Love threw three interceptions. I asked Packers safety Xavier McKinney how he thought the defense played.
I thought we played well defensively. We just didn't get turnovers. So they had, four? Four. So, I mean, it's going to be tough when it's like that, the ratio is like that. So, yeah.
The Eagles star receiver, A.J. Brown, caught on camera reading a book on the sidelines during the game.
That's a book that I bring every single game. And, you know, my teammates call it a recipe. You know, that's the first time I heard that y'all got me on camera. It got a lot of points in there, a lot of mental parts about it. But for me, you know, this game is mental.
NBA, the Bucks losing to the Knicks in New York, 140-106. The team returns home. Tomorrow night, they'll host the Kings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The show must go on. Despite wildfires continuing to burn, production will start up again in Los Angeles. After being put on hold last week, Variety reports that shows like Jimmy Kimmel Live, NCIS Origins, and The Neighborhood will resume production. Other shows like Hacks, Suits LA, Ted, and Amazon's Fallout have not resumed production after being affected last week. Hollywood continues to rally around the victims of the LA fires. The latest organization to donate money is the Screen Actors Guild and American Federation of TV and Radio Artists. SAG-AFTRA had closed its offices due to the fires, which started January 7th. The union also postponed its in-person award nominating ceremony. SAG-AFTRA president, actress Fran Drescher, offered support to victims and those who have lost their homes and announced her union would donate $1 million to victims through the SAG-AFTRA Foundation. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and cold tonight, lows 0 to 5 below, wind chills to 20 below. Sunny and highs in the mid-teens for tomorrow. Warmer for the rest of the week, mostly sunny and a high in the mid-20s Wednesday, near 40 Thursday and Friday. It's 14 degrees right now.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
I'd done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not
with
doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, our colleague Jimmy Cuska joins us to talk about potential changes within Wisconsin sports. Not everybody's happy. And how much money are we spending already on that Wisconsin Supreme Court race? Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh-ho, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hey-cha, wait-cha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're back, and we were not able to finish our sacred animal portion, and Wendy's got a few more things, which is awesome. Wendy, yeah. Hanji Hani, take it away.
Hani. Well, the last said was a pig intelligence. Pigs are considered very intelligent and can even be taught to play video games. Yeah, that was where we left off. But here's the next one. Pigeon memory. Pigeons can remember hundreds of pictures and faces. A couple of other things that I remember about pigeons are that they mate life.
Mm.
And they are co-parents, meaning that both the male and female rear the baby pigeons.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, the pigeons were brought here and taught to be male pigeons and go back and forth and carry the mail and letters and notes. They even helped during a lot of wars and conflicts. But then after people didn't keep pigeons, carrier pigeons anymore, they kind of just abandoned them. And they usually would be like where mountains are and live in the mountains, but since they don't, you find them in cities mostly right now, and they live in like the buildings, and that's why they go like on the balconies and the windowsills and the roofs of buildings. And now they're really called, you know, they're really revered as pests, but they aren't. They're really intelligent birds. Again, they mate for life. And like in New York City, you see a lot of pigeons, and they eat anything. Like they clean up the garbage.
Wendy, I was walking on the boardwalk on the way back home from here in Long Beach, New York, and on the way home from breakfast. And I did a few blocks on the boardwalk, and there were like 30 pigeons, and they weren't moving. And I walked right through them, and they didn't even fly away.
They're used to the people here, right? I know. It's crazy. In some spots, the pigeons, like, you have to be careful not to walk on them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting. And then they're smart, so they must have been smart enough to think that I wasn't going to do anything.
I know. Yeah, I know. And they are very pretty. They're very pretty birds, pigeons. Anyway, I like
them. They look different, too. Or no, don't they look different than the ones in Minnesota, the ones out here?
They're similar. I remember when I was working at the U of M at the PWB building, it was very windy. It was like in a windmill over there, and it was a really, really very, very cold day and windy day. And I remember walking down the hall and looking out the window, and there were these two pigeons, like literally huddled together, like their necks were intertwined with each other, and they were just sitting in the corner of this window to stay out of the wind and the cold. And I just thought to myself, oh, look how cute they are, you know, to be together. And then after that, I learned that they mate for life. So, you know, they were a couple. I didn't even realize it back then, but they were.
Put a ring on it.
Yeah.
Rat laughter. Rats emit high-pitched sounds similar to laughter when tickled. I used to work with a pharmacist, and she had 7 rats as pets.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she was a rat, but oh, wow.
She had 7 rats, and I thought that was so unusual, but that, you know, she named them all, and they all looked different. One was like black, white, gray. And she said that like, they all had different personalities. and they were really, some were cuddly, you know, some were a little bit more standoffish, but she said all of them were like so smart. A couple of them, she taught them how to carry a little mouse basketball and go on his hind legs and put it in like a little mouse basket. Like the mice played basketball.
Wow, the rats did or the mice?
Rats did. The rats played.
They're also really good at diseases, too, aren't they? Isn't that how the Black Plague started?
I know. Sometimes when we are down in the bowels of New York City in the subway system, you can spot them. They're pretty big rats.
They need a leash. They're really big.
Crocodile tongue. Contrary to popular belief, crocodiles can't stick their tongues out.
Wow.
I never, contrary to popular belief, I never really gave a thought at all, just to be quite honest.
No, I didn't think they could.
I just want them to drag that dog out of their mouth. Like we see those videos on TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to read this and I have no idea what it means because I don't know. What an Arctic tern is, T-E-R-N, Arctic tern migration. I'm guessing it's some type of a bird. The Arctic tern has the longest migration of any animal, flying from the Arctic to Antarctica and back each year.
Whoa.
That's something like I should really look up because...
It is a bird.
Oh, it's a bird. Thank you for doing that. Yeah, I know.
A small, slender gray and white bird with angular wings. The Arctic tern is well known for its long yearly migration.
Wow. Okay. Love it. Oh, I read this before, but I'm going to do it again. The claws of a mantis shrimp can accelerate as quickly as a .22 caliber bullet. Scientists must keep them in thick plastic tanks because their punches can break the glass. That's a mantis shrimp. I hope I've never eaten one of those.
Ooh.
Here, babe, this is for you. Squirrels, because we have a menagerie of squirrels in our...
I can never tell which is who, though. One of them... looks at me when he's hungry.
So squirrels can't burp or vomit, nor can any other rodent, which is why rat poison is so effective. Other mammals tend to expel any toxic substances they ingest, but squirrels can't do that. Yeah,
I must be part squirrel then, because I haven't vomited since 1971.
Right, you just said that like last week.
Oh my God. Well, we had the neurovirus. At least I had it really bad. So hopefully people don't get sick. Yeah. The vomiting.
Wash your hands.
Diarrhea. I know. It was terrible. Yeah. You just touch so many things. You'd have to like constantly wash.
But I think I had that and I was vomit free again.
You were.
Mm.
Awesome is that?
Part honey, squirrel.
Yeah. Honeybee. Flap their wings 200 times every second. Yeah, I just read a whole thing too about how you should leave your leaves on the ground. You know, everybody's cleaning up all these leaves, but the bees and a lot of pollinators use those to burrow and to hibernate in the winter. So it's always good to leave those. Just be lazy and leave your leaves around.
That's been one of the greatest things that I've learned over the years, where I haven't had to rake in about 10 years.
Me too.
Yeah. And Haley, you mentioned earlier before we got on the air, you know, we're in New York, so we're going to miss that really cold snap that you guys are going to be getting the next couple of days.
Yeah.
And always, you know, I always have to remind everyone and people to bring in your pets. It's really cold out there. Bring them in, keep them warm. And if you see anybody or if you see pets or animals that are left out, contact your non-emergency number. Police are really helpful when it comes to helping pets that are left out. So,
Yeah, I had my dog out. Right now it's 6, but this morning when I woke up, it said it felt like negative 16, and brought my dog outside. Of course, we got some snowfall here again in the city, so walking on that really cold, icy snow can freeze your dog's paw pads really quickly. So once they start limping around and dancing with their little feet, time to go in.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks you for reminding people that, too. There's stuff I bought for Wanda, too. It's like a wax. Mm-hmm. That you can put on the dog's paw pads, and it helps against, the salt that they might encounter as well. I know Robert and I always buy the pet friendly salt, to throw out, but, it is, expensive, and a lot of businesses and people don't buy it because it is expensive. There's lots of salt around. Be careful of having your dog walk through the salt too. That's really not good, you know?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Wild dolphins call each other by name. They let out a unique whistle to identify each other and will respond if they hear their call played back.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. have we seen a dolphin out here in Long Beach?
Oh, I've seen friends with the Long Beach, New York group on Facebook, and a lot of area video, dolphins, humpback whales, sea lions.
Mm.
I have lived out here most of my life until I moved to Minnesota 24 years ago. I've never in my life saw a dolphin, a whale, or an otter on the beach ever, but just recently they had a young humpback whale wash up not too far from where we are right now, Robert.
Yeah,
they were going to do a necropsy report to see what killed the young humpback whale. Yeah, it was beached, and what they did was a ton of it. They buried it. They dug a really, really deep hole and they buried it.
Wow.
Surprised how they disposed of the body. But yeah, a lot of people were speculating, its stomach is probably filled with plastic. Doing drilling out here. And for those wind turbines in the ocean, which a lot of controversy about. Some people were saying it might have been because of that disturbed the whale. There's lots of pollution, climate change. They couldn't find enough food. There's a lot.
Well, Wendy, I appreciate you in your sacred animal sections over the year segments, and this has also been a fun, great one. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
I love the Toyota Sienna Hybrid from Rudy Luther Toyota. Safe, roomy, comfortable, and insanely fuel efficient. One thing I haven't mentioned is how good the Sienna is at winter driving. We just had a snowstorm, and my Sienna handled the ice and snow no problem. From getting through the plow pile at the end of the driveway to safely navigating the snow-covered highways, the Sienna is designed to give you a comfortable, safe drive. When winter weather hits, I give myself extra time, but with Sienna's handling and heated seats, extra time is great. Test drive a Sienna today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hey, it's Patrick. Your friends and family may be gone now, but the messes that were left behind on your carpets, rugs, upholstery, and more remain. That's why you need to call My Cleaning Heroes at Zero Res and get 2024 out of your house for good. That's why to start the new year, Zero Res is offering 24% off all cleaning services for the month of January. That's 24% off carpets, tiles, rugs, upholstery, any surface in your home, and don't forget about your air ducts. Call Zero Res right now at 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com and ask for the AM 950 special. But Zero Res isn't just good for cleaning up the post-holiday messes at home. They can make your business look great, too. Zero Wrath was out at the station this fall, and we couldn't have been happier with their quality of work and their professionalism, and the station looks great. So don't wait. Book your home cleaning today. Call 952-ZERO-RES or go to ZeroResMinnesota.com and ask for the AM 950 special. Zero Res.
A home that needs new everything. Plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we had no Dr. Stately today, but they have things going on as of tonight. They have the full moon ceremony today. We can give everyone, let everyone know how they can be involved with that, Haley.
Yeah, for sure. So this is for our females and women or anyone who identifies as so that it receives their menstrual cycle. Full moon ceremonies are free in attendance. They ask that you bring a long skirt or ceremonial skirt, shawl or sheet. It's a potluck. So usually bring your own dish if you're able to. Bring your feast bundles like your own plate, fork, spoon, bowl and cup. Usually a copper cup is encouraged. Men of all ages are encouraged to join and learn about the duties of what it is to be a fire keeper. This is NAC, Native American Community Clinic's full moon ceremony tonight, January 13th at 5 p.m. at 2501 Cedar Avenue, which is the Little Earth Gym. You'll be joining Little Earth Residents Association and Native American Community Clinic for that ceremony. It's really a good time to connect with nature, connect with Grandmother Moon, and just be in community with relatives.
Absolutely. Hey, we like to partner up with people here and get the word out on what great organizations are up to. And so we have a new report today.
We do. Yeah, this is coming from the American Indian Family Center in St. Paul. Usually I attend their full moon ceremonies tonight in Afton, Minnesota. I know that they were planning on doing one tonight, but that did get canceled. I know we have Riette Peltier, who is AIFC's communications manager specialist, and she has a little update for us. So I just want to share this quickly here.
First and foremost, one of our updates for this week is that tonight's full moon ceremony is canceled. Unfortunately, the elders decided that the freezing temperatures will be a little bit too much and there's unsafe driving conditions on the way to the location where we have ceremony. We also on tonight, Monday, we have our recurring Monday night's Men's Smudgeon Support Group tonight at AIFC, and that will be from 6 to 8 p.m. On Tuesdays, another recurring meeting we have is our Kunshi Onikon Recovery Services Wellanon, which is the Native American Elanon virtual meeting via Zoom, and that's 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. The Zoom link can be found on our AIFC webpage at www.aifcmn.org/events, E-V-E-N-T-S. And then on Thursday, we have our recurring weekly traditional crafting group, and that is open to community, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We do all kinds of crafting. We have supplies here if you want to get started on a craft, or if you're working on something and you want to bring it in and just be in community and meet other relatives, you can come on in 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Thursday. We also that evening have our virtual Wellbriety Medicine Wheel 12 Steps meeting with Kunshi Onikon as well, which is our recovery services, and that is 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. That is also open to community. Anyone who is dealing with substance use disorder. And then also on this Saturday, we have our Waban Ogamawag, which is our youth services. That means tomorrow's leaders in Anishinaabemowin. We have our life skills for youth, and it's going to be a special life skills for youth with our career coach, Gavin Sordelet. He's going to be doing some resumes and career-related service areas with youth, and that's 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. this Saturday, January 18th at AIFC. Miigwech, opira, pinagigi.
Awesome. Thank you, Raya. That's our weekly update from the American Indian Family Center in St. Paul.
Very nice job. Very nice. Looking forward to more of those. And there was a couple that really caught my attention, too. So it's great to hear about these things and know what's happening around Twin Cities. And everybody across Turtle Island that's listening to that aren't in the Twin Cities, it's really good to mirror a lot of these organizations here in Minnesota that have been doing great work, like American Indian Family Center, for so many years and helping the community. So I'm sure if you have any questions on how to start your own groups or what their groups are about anywhere across the country, get a hold of American Indian Family Center here in Minneapolis in the Twin Cities, and I'm sure they'd help you, guide you in a good way.
Absolutely. Yeah, they have so many great programs. They help with housing, addiction services, rehabilitation services as well. I love that they do the crafting group every Thursday. I know they do that at the American Indian Magnet School in St. Paul. And they provide, like Ray had said, crafting supplies. So if you're, you know, not able to have what you need, or you ran out of something, and they will have everything you need to make a craft. And I'm sure some pretty great teachers as well. That youth skills camp or day camp for kids. I know that one time they were teaching kids how to change tires on a vehicle, which I think is a great skill that everyone should have. Mm-hmm. And more things like that. So stay up to date with American Indian Family Center at AIFCMN.org.
I think the last car I had, I didn't have a spare, which is very bizarre for me. Hey, in other St. Paul news, our friend Kelly Miller, that's been on the show many times in her organization, but she ran for Ramsey County Board of Commissioners, and she won. And so she is the first ever Native American commissioner out of Ramsey County ever. And that's huge, huge, huge. That's what we talk about, you know, at the end of the show here many times is run for office. She's putting her money where her mouth is, and she's a very talented Native American in the Twin Cities. And now she's getting involved in politics, because we've always talked about, Haley, if you're not at the table, pull up a folding chair, you know.
And yeah,
you know.
No, exactly. Talking a little bit about Kelly Miller, I just know, yeah, huge congratulations, Kelly, first ever Native American elected to Ramsey County Board of Commissioners. Kelly is a proud member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. Born and raised in Mille Lacs area, Miller dedicated her career to public service and community advocacy. She was serving as the chief program officer at Interfaith Action of Greater St. Paul, great organization. And she is a graduate of St. Paul College and is pursuing a degree in American Indian Studies at the University of Minnesota.
Wow, congratulations again. And hey, last minute here, we're going to have to say Skol Vikings. They're 14-3, and they're playing the Los Angeles Rams tonight, 7 Central, 8 out here in the eastern part of the country. And we're excited to say Skol.
Skol Vikings. What's the song that they play? Skol Vikings, run up the score. Let's hear you shout for more.
Wow, good one. Yeah, that's old school. I haven't heard anyone really sing out the words again like that. But
Well, there you go. Free performance from me. Hey, I want to shout out one of our great sponsors quickly before we wrap up this last segment. NACD is hosting with Four Sisters Urban Farm a community listening session at the Four Sisters Medicine Garden on January 16th at 6 p.m. at the East Phillips Park. Put that in your calendar. That'll be a great winter storytelling experience, I'm sure, with a lot of great leaders and community.
Absolutely. Hey, well, it's great. It's got another week, and we'll see you tomorrow.
News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome dietitian and nutritionist Sherry Stoka, and from the band Ask Your Mother, Eric Rathsack and Adam Krauss join me in the studio. There will be rock.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Los Angeles wildfires continue and the hot, dry Santa Ana wind that fanned the first blazes is returning.
We've got 36 hours of what will be an urgent situation again in California. It is different than what happened last week. It's a little less, but still the type that can take down trees and power lines. And we've got this upper level support speeding up the Santa Ana winds and making it even bigger.
ABC News meteorologist Ginger Z. Federal public health officials reporting high levels of respiratory illnesses nationwide. Very high levels of flu, COVID, and RSV reported in 6 states, high in 29 more. And that is up from 24 the week before. South Korea's military says North Korea test-fired multiple missiles toward the Sea of Japan. Pyongyang continuing weapons demonstrations ahead of President-elect Trump's inauguration next week. South Korean analysts say they were short-range missiles. This is ABC News.
You can always